This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. I want to thank to everyone out there for your prayers. Many of you know, perhaps many of you don't know, the passing away of my dear wife last Saturday. CJ, the love of my life, went to be with the Lord on the 5th of December. And many of you I know already know that, and I thank you for reaching out to me, and thank you for your support. It's greatly appreciated, and I thank you for your prayers. The prayers of the saints have kept me going, and the grace of God. I'm just so grateful for you. And again, too, I want to thank, just wanted to let everyone know out there, many of you, I consider family. As the station manager of WMIE here for 12 years, I consider all of you family, and just wanted to pass that on to everyone, the news that my wife's moved on, and she's gone home, and the Lord's called her home. Thank you, and I would just ask for your continued prayers and support. We're moving on here in my Bible study. We're going on to a new book today, 2 Thessalonians. Last 5 weeks, we've looked at 1st. Now we're on to 2 Thessalonians. We're looking here today at the Trinity. All this week, we'll be covering chapter 1. It's a sermon I preached just a couple weeks ago, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's three chapters to this book. We're going to hear chapter 1 here Monday through Thursday. We'll be back again Friday as we get back into the book of Acts. Now, here is part 1 of this message from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Starting a new book today. Now, today's letter is the sequel to the first. We're in 2 Thessalonians today, chapter 1. Now, Paul wrote this letter from Corinth less than a year after he had written 1 Thessalonians. He and his companions, Timothy and Silas, had visited Thessalonica on Paul's second missionary journey. They established the church there, but Paul had to leave suddenly because of persecution. Remember all that? We looked at that a few weeks ago. Acts chapter 17. Remember, the Jews were out to get him. Now, this prompted him to write his first letter, which contained words of comfort and encouragement. Now, Paul then heard how the Thessalonians had responded to this letter. The good news was they were continuing to grow in their faith. The bad news was that false teachings about Christ's return were spreading, leading many to quit their jobs and wait for the end of the world. Whole bunch of people today have quit their jobs and have moved to Israel, waiting for the end of the world. Paul's going to address that when we get to the end of chapter 2 and chapter 3. So Paul wrote to the Thessalonians again. While the purpose of Paul's first letter was to comfort the Thessalonians with the assurance of Christ's second coming, the purpose of the second letter is to correct false teaching about his second coming. Now, it's not until chapter 2 he addresses this issue. In chapter 1, which we're looking at here today, he's going to greet them and speak prophetically of the Lord's return. Since, remember, That's the theme of this letter here in chapter 4, Resurrection Day. And the peace and comfort of knowing that, whether we live or die, we will rise up again at the trumpet call and meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. Amen? That's where we left off. That was the theme of what he was writing. Now, in the meantime, since this last letter, someone had shown up there in Thessalonica and had told them, well, Paul told me that the day of Christ had already come. Ultimately saying to them, you guys missed the rapture. In chapter 2, Paul's going to answer that question directly. All right, so Paul's the author. The year written around 51 A.D., now here's another brief paragraph from Dr. Charles Ryrie for an introduction. He said, word had reached Paul that somehow there had been a misunderstanding, if not misrepresentation, of his teaching about the return of the Lord. Some thought that its judgments had already begun. Yet they understood Paul to have taught that they would be exempt from those judgments. The practical ramification of this doctrinal confusion was that some, thinking the end of the world was at hand, had quit working and were creating an embarrassing situation. Now, Paul corrects the teaching and he reprimands the idlers. I mean, that's what 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we are exempt from those judgments. All right, one last introduction. This one's my favorite. Since Paul's first letter, the seeds of false doctrine had been sown among the Thessalonians, causing them to waver in their faith. Paul removes these destructive seeds and again plants the seeds of truth. He begins by commending them for their faithfulness in the midst of persecution and encouraging them that present suffering will be repaid with future glory. Therefore, in the midst of persecution, expectation can be high. Paul then deals with the central matter of his letter, a misunderstanding spawned by false teachers regarding the coming day of the Lord. Despite reports to the contrary, that day had not yet come. And Paul recounts the events that must first take place. Laboring for the gospel rather than lazy resignation is the proper response. Now, these events we're going to look at next week. That's probably my favorite, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at that next week, obviously. Here today, I can't stress enough the dangers of false teachers today. Neither can I stress the dangers enough of the charismatic movement today, many of whom elevate their own words to equal status with the Word of God. Now that was the very thing that these guys here had to do. I've got a word from God for you. That's what they say. Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You see, when anyone speaks a word supposedly from God that contradicts the written word, don't believe it. October 14th, 1988, the Lord is returning, they said in the book. Don't believe it, obviously. September 27th, at the last blood moon, something's going to happen. Which was an attempt to weasel out of setting a date by not saying what was going to happen on that day, but that's what they meant, and they sold 40 million books. They just didn't want to say it because they would have gotten in trouble if they said, we think the Lord's coming back on this day or the rapture's on this day. There are so many things. Someone says to you, God doesn't love you. Don't believe it. Live with your boyfriend first. See if you're compatible. Don't believe it. Don't honor your father. He was mean to you when you grew up. Don't believe it. Repay evil to that person who hurt you. You're entitled to do that. Don't believe it. Don't pay taxes. The money just goes to Planned Parenthood. Don't believe it. And lastly, you miss the rapture. Again, I say, don't believe it. I remember when I first got my job at our radio station down in Stewart, the manager would say, when the rapture comes, all this is yours, Esposito. A delayed reaction. Thank you. Next Sunday, we'll have a biblical answer to that question. Paul said two things had to happen first before the rapture could take place. We're going to look at that again. Don't miss next Sunday. He's going to address this question. Now let's get started here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus or Silas, and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My anti-Trinitarian friends always insist I drop the word "the" here in verse 2. Because it's not in the original text. See the definite article here in verse 2? If you look at verse 2, see the only time the word "the" is in there? It's not in the original. So take away the, and you can twist the scripture and claim the Father and Son are the same being. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in Greek, sometimes the definite article is implied. It doesn't always have to be in the text. For all who deny the Trinity, what do you do with this? Hebrews 1:3, speaking of Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What do you do with that? What do you do with this? Matthew 3:16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How do you account for that if you don't believe the Trinity?
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. I love to hear the voice of God.
Tears and my will is breaking. I don't think that I can carry the burden.